So I'm going to talk tonight about, I guess if I had a title to talk, it would be Mini Awakenings and Toilet Paper, the name of the talk tonight. So in my whole life, really, this historical moment seems like it's the best time to awaken. So that's a positive part of this time. I keep telling myself to not miss this opportunity. I don't know if you saw it, but in Lake Mills, Wisconsin, a retired school teacher wrote a short poem at lunch one day and posted it to friends on Facebook. And it's called In the Time of the Pandemic. It kind of went viral, so you may have seen it. You may have seen that in a post. Even though she's not a Buddhist, this particular writer, nor are many of the people who appreciated the post and reposted it, it has a perspective that reveals what you might call the sacred possibilities of this moment. So here's her poem, right? And the people stayed home and they read books and listened and rested and exercised and made art and played games and learned new ways of being and were still. And they listened more deeply. Some meditated, some prayed, some danced. Some met their shadows. And the people began to think differently. And they healed. And in the absence of people living in ignorant, dangerous, mindless, and heartless ways, the earth began to heal. And when the danger passed, and the people joined together again, they grieved their losses and made new choices and dreamed new images and created new ways to live and heal the earth fully as they had been healed. Sweet. Okay. Is the sound of my voice at the right level? Okay. So I think the poem, it's a good reminder of our possibilities, personally and collectively, and that our openings in practice, it's something I try to remember. Our openings tend not to come when we're most nestled into our comfort zone. They tend to come when the forces of Mara are there. And most of you know what I mean by that reference. Okay, Mara, the evil one, the one who is constantly pushing at the Buddha. So when Buddha was seated under the Bodhi tree in the midst of an onslaught from Mara and his armies, so the arrows of fear and wanting and hatred are flying at him, right? Really, I would put it in the words that they're summoning him into delusion to get hooked by them and to their your his reactions to them. But instead, with all this coming at him, Buddha remains steady in mindfulness, and his classic line is, "I see you. I see you, Mara." And then the minute he sees them, the armies disappear, retreating in defeat because he saw them for what they were, which was empty, which was delusional, really. So at that moment, with his left hand on his lap, like this, his right hand downwards, he drops his right hand over the right leg to touch the earth, calling the earth to witness what happened, right? It represents the moment when the Buddha became enlightened, under the Bodhi tree. And did you just change the view? Because I would like to be able to see the group. Sorry, I'm fooling with this.
I canceled the spotlight, so you should be able to go back to gallery view.
Can I go back to gallery view?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. I'd like to be able to see people while I'm speaking rather than just see myself. Is that okay with everybody? Okay. All right. So this moment where the Buddha sees the forces of Mara for what they are. I see you. This is the moment of his enlightenment. And I want to suggest that there's going to be moments like with Buddha. We're smack in the middle of the bombardment. We can see Mara. I see you. And we feel the armies retreat in defeat. We too can have the feeling, even if it's just the momentary feeling of touching the earth, the same way that he did. Okay. And there is the fear or the worry or the greed or the anger or the loneliness or the self-criticism. And then, I see them. I see them. And then you let go. And you might call these mini enlightenments. It's the movement of being caught to realizing you're caught to being uncaught in a hindrance and seeing that none of that was you to begin with. None of it was really real. None of it is really able to hurt you, okay? I mean, and that is the opportunity we have here with all these things that are coming at us. So what is so fortunate or fortuitous, you might say, about this virus, okay, and the situations that it's creating is that it keeps generating the conditions for our many enlightenments, our opportunities to let go and to know it. Okay. And when we learn to let go of even just one time, okay, just one thing, one time, there's that feeling of a burden lifted, of relief. And sometimes it even feels like joy. And following it, as we learn how to do this, there is a deeper sense of peace and faith. That even for just a moment, these things cannot affect us or run our lives. You begin to feel, there begins to be a felt freedom or an ease. And these are the glimpses that keep us on the path, that keep us doing this, that give us faith, right? And it's not, I mean, this is something that the Buddha and the texts talk about, exactly this process of being in a situation caught and then letting go, being caught and let go as the main skill on the path, really. So in Buddhist texts, they try to describe this with similes. And here's three examples that they use from going from being caught in something, like in a hindrance, to being uncaught. And this is the feeling, this is the words that are used in the original text. A man is sick and he's in pain. He's suffering from a grave disease. His food does not agree with him. He has no strength left in his body. But then he recovers from that sickness and he can again digest his food and he regains his strength. And at that, he rejoices. He's glad at heart. You get that feeling? And here's his second example. I mean, they're designed, you should feel what that feels like or try to empathize with it, what it feels like. A man has been thrown into prison, but then sometime later, after a long time, he's released from prison. And at that, he rejoices. He's glad at heart, knowing he's going to be free. Ah. Okay. Or here's the third example. They actually give five, but I'm picking three. A man owes a debt, and it's weighed on him and his family. But then he's able to pay off that debt. And now he knows he's debt-free in the final payment. Ah, you get that feeling? They're examples that are designed to let us, help us know the feeling of release, okay? And to appreciate it. And even 2,500 years later, we can get it, you know? You can see what that feels like to get that release. The thing is that they're similes though. There's a point in here that's not quite the truth that I want you to see. And that is because the truth in our lives is not that we're going to get released from the condition, like the debt or the prison or the sickness. That's not going to go away. It's from realizing where is the freedom coming from. It's not that the thing disappears. It's from realizing the insubstantiality of the condition. What do I mean by that? I mean, notice in the example of Buddha, okay? When Buddha says, I see you, Mara. The arrows slung at Buddha don't disappear on their own, or because Buddha has a better army now, or he got better fortification, okay? And that's why he's gonna win this. No. The hindrances or obstacles are operating in full force, just the same, okay? And he's sitting there, and Mara is trying to fool him into believing that they're real. It's only in his presence, in remaining steady, that he saw that they were not the real source of his suffering. Okay. And then they disappear for the delusion that they are. Okay, do you get that difference? Okay. In modern language, I'll translate in a different way. What frees you is not fighting the conditions. It's not manipulating the conditions so they turn out in some other way. It's letting go of your attachment to the whole project of realizing it was never the conditions at all binding you, but the mind streams that you're generating about the condition. Okay? That's what's imprisoning you. And once you see that, okay, there's your mini enlightenment, okay? That's the mini enlightenment that we could be having. You have the possibility of breaking free of any particular bond that is binding you, any hindrance that's coming in the moment. And what's so great about this time, okay, if we can look at it in that way, is that we have the opportunity to see clearly what those bonds are and what they feel like, and then what it feels to release them, okay? What that feeling of release is like. It's a very important part of this path to be able to recognize when we begin to release and the feeling of release, because as we do that, it keeps us engaged in the path. It's It's what creates the faith. It what creates the momentum to keep coming here and doing this. Right? So I'd like you to consider for yourself, okay, what about this virus time, okay? What are you in the grip of? Okay. What grabs you in this? What keeps inviting you into thinking something is important, it's important, or occupies your thought stream? Is it more financial and job worries? Is it boredom? Is it health concerns? Is it loss, whether of plans or connections or events you wanted? Is it the inability to be with someone you love? Okay. What is the thing that's grabbing you in this? And I'd like to have us introduce ourselves now and then check in about that one question. So we're going to move into breakout groups for just 5 minutes. If you would just tell people your name, even though they can see it up there, just say hello to the other people in your group. And then say, what is it that's grabbing you? What's, if you had to pick one thing, what is occupying your thought stream? Okay? And I'll see you in five. So, you know, I'd like you to think of the challenge that you just shared about and what in your mind would make this better. If there was a challenge, you know, what would make this better right now? And I just want I'm going to walk you through like a very trivial but iconic example of a challenge of this time: toilet paper. Okay, so here's the scenario: we're running out of toilet paper. And I go online to the first store, and the message comes up on my computer. I'm sorry, stock of certain items is running low, and we do not have this item available. Please check back another time, okay? So then I go to my backup store, and I have the same kind of message. I can feel my stomach tightening a little bit, my mind doing some planning. I'm going to find stores that have it. You know what? I'm going to go in person. I'm getting there early before other people. I'm getting there first. I'm going to get it. And, you know, after a while, I score. All right. I found my 6 rolls. Yay. Finally, I can relax. Right? And the question really is, really? Can you really relax? Now what? And this is really true. I'm taking a really trivial example, but it's really true for everything, even the things that you brought up that would be serious. Now what? If you look closely, you see that you will never find refuge or happiness in getting whatever it was that you think you wanted, my toilet paper. Okay. Because the reactive feeling that led me to grasp for the toilet paper is where I'm living. Okay. And that is suffering. So any tiny moment you get of relief, you know, from getting the toilet paper, from scoring whatever it is that you're going to score, is going to be gone really before it just starts again all over again. And maybe with something else this time. Maybe it's hand sanitizer the next time. It's all part of Mara's army. You'll just be worried the next time you run low, and doubly upset at the people who are doing hoarding, okay? Because it's something you're grasping for. So can you see the, what happens in that mindset, the contraction of your world? This is samsara, okay? And there's no freedom in this. So it doesn't matter what happens or whether you score or you don't score with any of the things you're talking about. Okay. There's no freedom. So what is the alternative here, right? And I'm going to suggest like three steps. I mean, I tried to think of it and think, what is the process? Maybe there's three steps in this process. Okay. So step one, you've got to know that the obstacle that you're thinking in your mind, this is the obstacle, that's the path. The obstacle is the path. So you begin, in my case, I begin with the toilet paper and the feeling of grasping. And it's really important in this first step to feel the feeling of being caught. Okay, what is it like to feel caught, to feel that wanting, feel that grasping, feel that fear, feel that aversion, feel that whatever that feeling is of being caught? Witness yourself being caught. It's really important to have that sense, that direct sense of what being caught feels like. Okay, step two. All right. I'm going to call this the spiritual reality check. Okay. And you can initiate this step by saying, what is really important right now? What am I trading in my state of consciousness or my peace of mind for right now? And for me, even if it seemed important, you know what's facing, what I'm trading in my peace of mind for? Toilet paper. Oh my God, right? Or planning about toilet paper. And you're gonna stay caught in whatever it is you're caught in if you make the thing you're caught in more important than your state of consciousness. Okay, that's kind of the rule. Taranita Ambrosia, who is a Bari Center for Buddhist Studies teacher, calls it being caught in the once and for all mind. Okay, which by that she means, if I only had that, whatever it is, my health, the toilet paper, being with my lover, being, you know, whatever the thing is, the book opening, if I only had that, I'd be okay. Okay. It's that idea that we keep circulating and circulating in ourselves with the virus, without the virus. If I only had that, okay, the once and for all mind, it would be okay, okay? But it never will be, right? So part of step two is to remember that you don't wanna give away your ease and your peace in life to thought streams of fear or planning or grasping about whatever you think that thing is that's finally gonna solve your problem. And then step three is to let the grasping go. And I'm saying that in a particular way with particular wording. Notice the wording. I'm not saying not make the grasping go. Just the reality check itself. Let the reality check itself, the spiritual reality check, do its work. Let the idea of feeling that grasping and feeling what that feels like, let it do its work. and you'll just let go like it's a hot potato. You don't have to make yourself do anything, okay? And it might sound like this in your mind if it had thoughts to it. So I'll go back to the toilet paper. This grasping, thinking, planning cycle, this is not the house I want to live in. Really see this and your grip is going to loosen, okay? It will loosen on its own. And so I have toilet paper now. If there comes a time in the future where I have none, the circumstances will already have changed. And if I can't get it, then I'll deal with it. Okay? I'll deal with it. I know I'll deal with it. Then I feel the ease of letting go. Then I start to live in a place right now that feels a lot sweeter, a lot calmer, a lot more peaceful. This is the mini awakening, okay? This is the mini awakening. And the idea is, can we do this for every time that we start to grab onto something? Can we do it? And then we're not talking about mini awakening. We're talking about really being on the path to awakening, okay? So I took a trivial example, like the toilet paper, but as you're able to do this more and more with little things first and then with bigger things, the burden of our life truly begins to lift. And this is really all I'm talking about in other ways is the second and third noble truths. There is suffering, okay? That feeling of being caught, and then there's a way out. So let's work tonight with the mini enlightenments in our sit tonight, okay? What could mini enlightenments be in our sit? It could be anything. If this itch would just go away, I could have a good sit, right? That's that mind, okay? That's the same thing. Start laughing at that. Look how contracted your sit or your life is going to be if my itch, you know, is all that your sit is. And it's all about the itch or getting rid of the itch, okay? If I could just straighten my leg, you know? Can you notice the point of being caught? Oh, in that. That's what's occupying my thought stream. Can I just let go? Okay. So whatever you're caught in tonight, a sensation, a stream of thought, notice that it's there. One, check in spiritually. What's important right now? And then let it do what it's going to do. Okay. And then don't worry about it. Don't worry whether it releases or it doesn't. Just try to stay in a place of ease, letting it go. And then if you've done that, if you're able to release whatever it is, your thought, your itch, your worry, your, you know, in your sit tonight, savor it, notice it. It's really important to do that. And if you want, drop your hand like that and drop your second, your right hand to the ground and let the earth witness that you just did that, okay? So let's have some mini enlightenments together. Take a moment to get comfortable. And I will lead us through a half hour sit.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.